Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Yud Dalet. And Gemara is discussing this Braisa and trying to explain who is the author of the Braisa. So let's start again. On the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, it's, I guess, maybe 20 or so lines up. Man Tana Lahadit Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana of the following Braisa? The Braisa is explaining the Pasuk in Vayikra. The Pasuk says, V'shachar es'ira chatas asher la'am. And he will slaughter the goat of atonement that is for the nation. What does it mean that it is for the nation? That is to say, she'ena kohanim miskaprim bo. The kohanim don't get atonement through this goat. Uvamam miskaprim. So how do the kohanim get atonement for the sins of contaminating the temple? Beparo shel Aaron. They get atonement with the bull of the Kohen Gadol, the bull of Aaron. Yachalo yiskaprim beparo shel Aaron. I might have thought that maybe the Kohanim as a whole don't get atonement with the bull of Aaron. Sharei kvar ne'amar asher lo, because the verse says, V'ikriv Aaron is parachatas asher lo. The bull of sin offering that is for him. For him, implying that it's not for anybody else, not for the other Kohanim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Mayatze ein lehen kapara? Then what are you going to do? The Kohanim are not going to have any atonement? The inner goat is a sayer achatas asher la'am. That's for the nation and not for them. The bull, you're saying, is not for them because it's asher lo for him and not for them. So what, they get nothing? Kishu omer, when the verse says, yechaper, he will atone. That must mean ala kohanim. It's for the kohanim too. The verse says, ala kohanim v'al kol ama kol yechaper. So, ala kohanim, matzino lehem kapara. So we do find that they get atonement. So, b'mayin miskapim. So what do they get atonement? Do they get atonement with the goat that goes into the holies? Or do they get atonement with the bull of Aaron? Answers the Gemara, the Braisa then says, mutav she yiskapim b'paro shel Aaron. It makes sense that they are getting atonement with the bull of Aaron, based on logic. What's the logic? On the one hand, the verse says it's his bull. That would imply it's only for him. But yet we know it's not only for him. That rule of saying that it's for him is really expanded because his whole family gets atonement with it. They don't deserve to get atonement with the goat that is done on the inside. Because that, we don't find, is something other than the nation. It just says, asher la'am, it's for the nation. It doesn't say that it's for things other than the nation. And if you find this idea troubling, and you need another source, I'll tell you what the source is that the Kohanim are included in the bull of Aaron. Harei Omer, the verse says, that Beis Aharon Baruch Hu Es Hashem. The household of Aaron should bless Hashem. What's that a reference to? All the Kohanim. So once it says, V'chiper ba'adova ad beso, he will atone with this bull for himself and for his family, his household. The household means all the Kohanim. Beso Levi baruch hu es Hashem. The household of Levim should bless Hashem. Yireh Hashem baruch hu es Hashem. Okay, that's the end of the Braisa.
So Rabbi, when they do the shech for the bull, they eat it too themselves, the Kohanim, the guy who is
the bull of Yom Kippur is not eaten, it's burned.
Just Yom Kippur.
This we're is talking about the bull of Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, okay. All right.
So now the Gemara asks the point of why we quoted this whole Braisa, Man Tana. Who is the Tana of this Braisa? Rabbi Yirmiyah said, to look Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like Rabbi Yehuda. To Rabbi Yehuda. If we want to say it's Rabbi Yehuda, but he says, Kohanim Yeshlen Kapar Basar Mishtaleach, the Kohanim have atonement with the goat that gets sent to the wilderness. And here, this Braisa is saying that if we wouldn't have the Kohanim as part of the bull, they wouldn't get any atonement. But for him, even without them being part of the bull, they would certainly get atonement for other sins through the Sar Meshtaleach. So then the Gemara says, okay, so if it's not Rabbi Yehuda, Umani, so who is it? So Rava Amar, Rava said, Rabbi Shimoni, it must be it's Rabbi Shimon. It's Amar Kohanim, Inlam Kapar, Basar Meshtaleach, who says that the Kohanim do not get atonement through the goat sent to the wilderness. They only get atonement through the bull. Abaya Amar, Abaya said, no. Afilu Temer Rabbi Yehuda, this price could even be according to Rabbi Yehuda. This is what the Brisa is saying. In terms of the sin of contaminating the temple, if they're not part of the bull, because you say that the bull is only Asher Lo for him, for Aaron, not for the Kohanim, then Ein Lam Kapara V'Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. They would not have any way of getting atonement for the sin of contaminating the temple. The rest of the Jews get atonement for the sin of contaminating the temple through the goat that goes inside. But the goat that goes inside can't work for them because the Torah says explicitly about that goat that it's Asher La'am. That's for the nation. They're not, the Kohanim are not part of the nation. They're not the rest of the nation. And we're saying if they're not part of the bull, they don't have any atonement in that. Kishomer said, that's what the verse continued, the Brisa continues to say. Once you have the verse that says, Yechaper ala Kohanim al kolam Yechaper, that he, the Kohen Gadol, will atone for the Kohanim and for the whole nation. So that's saying that the atonement for the Kohanim is similar to the atonement for the nation. So that's why, Matzinu Sheishlen Kapara Bishar Averos. That means they get atonement for other sins the same way the nation gets atonement for other sins. So therefore, Kamot Matzinu Sheishlen Kapara Bishar Averos, if they're getting atonement for other sins, Kach Yeishlen Kapara B'Tumas Mekdash V'Kadashav, must be that they have a way to get atonement through for the sin of defiling the temple. That's what the Brisa continues to say. B'mehen miskaprim. So where, with what, do the Kohanim get atonement for the sin of contaminating the temple? So the Brisa said, I'll tell you logically. Mutav sheyiskapu b'paro shel Aaron. It's likely that they're getting atonement for the sin of defiling the temple with the bull of Aaron. Because the bull of Aaron, the Torah says that it's his bull. But then the Torah goes on to say, after saying this parachatas asher lo, the bull of Aaron, which is his, it then says v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beso. It's not really just his; it's for him and for his family. So once it said, it's for his family too. Sharei hutar michlalo, etzel beto. It's already been atoned. It's not just the rule of him, it's also for the family. So once it's also for the family, Val Yiskapru, Bisara Nasa Bifnim, it makes sense that they should get atonement for the sin of the through the bull, but not through the goat that goes inside, because that is the Torah defines as Asher La'am, that which is of the nation, and we don't have any verse saying that it's more than just the nation. And if you don't like this, and you have a problem with this, I'll tell you another source. Once the Torah says that the bull works for the whole family, the Torah says elsewhere, the household of Aaron, bless Hashem. What is the definition of household? What is the definition of family? All the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Umayim nafshecha lomar. What was the problem with the logic? Once you said that the source is because of Hutar Michlalo, what's the problem with that? So the answer is like this. Bechitaymo, if you could tell me, Beso, Bechitaymo, Bechitaymo, if you'll tell me, how could, good morning, if you'll tell me, how could you say that the offering of Aaron is for all the Kohanim, v'chitema, the bull of Aaron, you'll say, but besoksiv, it says in the verse, v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beso, he will atone for himself and for his household. So his household means it's not all the Kohanim, it's just his family. So that, the Brisa says, I'll answer. Siv, the verse says that all the Kohanim are called his household. Kula and Kruyin Beso, they're all called his household. Again, as the verse says, Beis Aron, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Yireh Hashem, Baruch Hu Es Hashem.
So they shed one ball for all the Kohanim, for all the contamination, possible contamination. Is that right?
Yeah, the bull of Aaron, exactly.
And who ate that?
Nobody, it's Yom Kippur. Nobody eats it, it's burnt.
Yeah, I know. Oh. Don't they have to eat the meat after the shifting?
No, it goes on the altar. It gets burned, it doesn't get eaten.
It gets burned, okay.
Yeah. What's the question? Yeah.
I'm sorry. Some covenant to get burned.
Yeah,
I'm really
happy about this.
I'll
yeah.
Get
you a doggy bag. Make sure that you're on a diet.
No, the sin of defiling the temple or eating karbanos while impure. Yeah, to mas mikdash v'kadash. Right. No, mikdash to mas mikdash v'kadash. Sar Nishtaleach, or according to Rabbi Shimon in the Par. Now, the Gemara, that was the Brisa. So fine, so we resolved who is the author of the Brisa. It could either be Rabbi Shimon, that was the first thought, or now we say the Brisa could be Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, going back to the Brisa. The Brisa says, the verse says, about the goat that goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, the verse says, V'shachat ha'seir ha'chatas asher la'am. And he is to slaughter the goat of the sin offering that is for the nation. V'shachat ha'seir ha'chatas asher la'am. Then it said about Aaron's bull, V'kriv Aaron is parachatas asher lo. And we learn that it's not just for him, it's for all the Kohanim, because it says also, V'chiper ba'do uva'ad be'sam. So now asks the Gemara, V'haya asher la'am lo'ach yuda asa, is the phrase, asher la'am, for this point, to say that the goat that goes inside is only for the nation, for the Yisraelim, and not for the Kohanim. Ha'mi ba'ele, we need it for something else. That Hashem is saying, Mida'am lehevi, that it has to be purchased from the money of the nation. So the Gemara says, no, that law that the goat that goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim is purchased from the money of the nation, ahu, that's from another verse. Mi'ume esadas b'nei Yisrael nafka, where the verse says, and from the community of the nation, yikach shnei seirei yizim, you should buy two goats. Now, another question. Baha'i, in this asher lo, that it says that the bull is for him about the Kohen Gadol, which is what we said was to teach us. One second. Baha'i asher lo, l'achiyud asa. Is it to tell me that it's really his and it's not for others? I have to have beso to include others. I mean, by the kid, it's but we need the words asher lo to teach me, mishalo hu mevi, that he needs to pay for it. The Kohen Gadol needs to buy the bull. Ve'eno mevi mishal tzibur. And the Kohen Gadol does not use the bull of the, he doesn't use communal funds to buy the bull. So the Gemara says, yachol lo yavi mishal tzibur, you might have thought that he doesn't use communal funds for the bull because the nation doesn't get atonement with it. But other Kohanim can pay for it because they all get atonement with it. Talmud Lomar, that's what the verse says. Asher lo, it has to be his money. Yacho lo yavi. Maybe you'll say he shouldn't bring from others. Lechatchila. But Im Havi, if he did use their money for the bull, it would be kasher. Tamalom, and that's what it says a third time. Asher lo, it has to be his. Hakasav shana lav la'akev. The Torah keeps repeating, it has to be his. To say that it has to be from his money. So it's not a source to tell me that the bull doesn't work for Am Yisrael. We need asher lo to say it has to be his money. So the Gemara answers, Tana hachi kokashile. The Tan of the Brisa had the following problem. The verse says it has to be his. It's his. Asher lo. So ma'ishna b'da amdalo mechaper. Why is it that the goat of the nation doesn't work for the kohanim? Dilo kochasu b'memona. So you're going to tell me because they didn't spend money on it. Dichsiv. Sira chatas asher la'am. Because it says that it's the goat offering from the nation. So b'da aronami lo kochasu b'memona. But in terms of the kohanim getting atonement through the bull of Aaron, but they don't spend money on that either. Aaron spends money. V'ka'amar, and we know that the Tana is going to say ultimately that kulan kuryan beso. So v'ka'amar, so the Tana answers kulan kuryan beso, that really they're all considered his household. So since Aaron, yes, it's true, Aaron spends the money, but it's his household, so he can atone for his household, he can atone for all the Kohanim, because they're all considered his household. They're all related. Yeah, because the purpose of the Karbanos is Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, and this is the place to discuss Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav.
But if it's bought for Merosh, when they are, when we take the Chatzi Shekel, that this is for the Kohen too. Anything to do so.
But it's not, because his bull has to be bought with his own money, not with the nation's money.
The pasuk.
Yeah, Asher lo, exactly.
Did they take turns, Rabbi, it's Kohanim, to do this? Because the guy did it with his own money for the rest of the Kohanim?
No, the Kohen Gadol does it.
The Kohen Gadol,
there's only one Kohen Gadol. Then the alternate would step in.
Has to buy a new bowl.
Yes. Right, so again, we were thinking that the other Kohanim should not be included in it because it says Asher Lo, that he spends his own money. The answer that they are included in it because it's for Beso also, and they are considered Beso. In the, we quoted earlier the argument from our Mishnah that what sacrifices work for Kohanim on Yom Kippur. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim get atonement for defiling the temple with the bull of the Kohen Gadol, and for other sins, they get atonement for the Sayar Mishtaleach. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, they get atonement both for defiling the temple and for other sins with the bull of the Kohen Gadol. One is with the blood of the bull of the Kohen Gadol, and one is with the confession on the bull of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Bishmol Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, that everything for the Kohanim is on the bull of the Kohen Gadol. Hanu dechsiv trei viduyim v'dam apar. That's what the Torah says, that the Kohen Gadol confesses sins twice on his bull, and he sprinkles blood from his bull. So there are really three things going on with the bull. There is chad kineged sayra nasa bifnim. One time the bull is doing for the Kohanim what the inner goat does for the Yisrael, namely the defiling of the temple. Chad kineged sayra nasa b'chutz. One is for what the goat that is part of the musaf accomplishes, namely for atonement for the defiling of the temple where there was no knowledge before, but there was knowledge after. V'chad kineged sayra mishtaleach. And then there's an atonement for all the sins. El Rebbe Yehuda, but according to Rebbe Yehuda, who says that the sins, other than defiling the temple, of Kohanim, get atoned in the goat that's sent to the wilderness. So why is there a need for, on the bull of the Kohen Gadol, for trei viduyin, for two confessions, v'dam apar lamali, plus the blood of the bull. V'chad vidui v'dam osagyot, should be enough to have a single confession and one sprinkling of the blood, or one section of doing with the blood. So the Gemara explains why the Kohen Gadol confesses twice. Echad lo, the first confession is just for himself. V'echad leveso, and the second confession is for all the Kohanim. K'detani deber Rabbi Yishmael, as Rabbi Yishmael explained, kachi midas adin noheg. I guess it makes sense that first the Kohen Gadol has to confess for himself to become clean and not have any sin. And once he's clean, mutav yavo zakai v'yechaper alachayav. Someone who himself is clean should atone for those who are guilty. Al yavo chayav v'yechaper alachayav. We shouldn't have someone who himself is guilty trying to cleanse others who are also guilty. Hadron Allah, Perek Shvur Shtayim, Hadra Chalan, Be'ezus Hashem, Yisbara. Sure, once you're clean, then you can go on. That's right. Okay, now we have a second chapter, again dealing with the concept of the purifying of, purity and defiling the temple and impurity. And this Mishnah is also going to teach us how they actually made the temple holy. Let's go back to the first, to one of the earlier lines. Yedio satoma, when it comes to knowing about impurity, then forgetting, going into the temple, coming out, and knowing again. Shtayim, there are two cases that are explicit, plus two cases that are interpreted, to get us to a total, Shein Arba, four cases. So, what are the different cases? Nitma, let's say a man becomes impure. He's in the same room as a dead body. V'yada, and he knows he's impure. But then, v'nel mamimenu atzuma, then he forgets that he's impure. So while he's forgetting, he goes and he eats meat of a sacrifice. Zohar sakodesh. He knows that what he's eating is holy. But he forgets that he's impure. Or, nela mimenu akodesh. He forgets that what he's eating is sacrifice. He forgets that this is sacrifice. But, zachor esatumah. That he's aware that he is impure. So those are the two cases. It could even be that he forgot everything. Nela mimenu zevizeh. He forgot he's impure and he forgot that he's eating the sacrifice.
That meat of the sacrifice you have to eat in the Beit HaMikdash?
Depends on which sacrifice, right? Shlavim can be eaten in Yerushalayim. Right? So now, Mami Menu Zevazeh, he forgot that it's a sacrifice, and he forgot that he was impure. Yachla Sakodesh, and he ate the sacrifice. V'lo Yada, again, when he was eating the sacrifice, he didn't know that he was doing the wrong thing. But Umisha Achal, after he ate, Yada, he became aware that either he was impure when he ate it, or that it was a sacrifice that he ate, or both points, became aware of both points. So Hareza Bola V'yored. So these are two cases that he has to bring a carbon Ola V'yored. Namely, if he's wealthy, he brings a sheep or a goat. If he can't afford that, he can bring two birds. And if he can't afford that, he can even bring a mincha, an offering of flour. He has the sliding scale carbon. So the biblical case, the explicit case, is that he forgets that he's impure. The added case is he forgot that the meat is even a sacrifice. Another case, nitma, he became impure. V'yada, he knew he was impure. Then v'neil mamimenu tzoma, he forgot that he was impure. V'zachor es hamikdash, but he's aware that this building he's walking into is the temple. Or, Ne'ala Mimenu Mikdash, he forgot that this building is the temple. V'zachar Esatoma, but he is still aware that he's impure. Or, Ne'ala Mimenu Zevazeh, he forgets that he's impure, and he forgets that it's the temple. V'nichnas LaMikdash, and he walks into the temple. V'lo Yada, and he's unaware. V'omisha Yatza, but afterwards, when he came out, Yada, he became aware that he was impure while in the temple. Again, Arezeh, Bola V'yorik, these are the cases when he has to bring the sliding scale sacrifice.
But you have to bring two rabbis here, or one?
Two? What do you mean by two?
Two.
It's either he did this or he did that.
Echad
anichnas la'azara. When we talk about an impure person walking into the temple, it could be that he walked into the courtyard of the temple. Even Echad HaNichnos L'Tosefes HaAzara, even if he walks into the addition to the courtyard. Remember that King Herod expanded the temple. He made it bigger. So if he walks into the expanded area, also he has to bring these sacrifices. Now, how do you expand the temple? How do you make more areas holy with the holiness of the temple? She'in mosifin alo yirval azaros. The only way to do it, whether to add to Jerusalem or to add to the courtyards of the temple, Ela b'melech, it has to be with a king, the Navi, and a prophet, v'urim v'tumim, and a Kohen Gadol who has the breastplate on him, which has in it the special names of God, the Urim v'tumim, inside the breastplate that make it light up. V'sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad, and the court of 71, uvishtei todos, and two loaves of a carbon todah, uvishir, and with singing, ubezdin mahalchin. Now the way it would happen is Bezdin is walking, uvishtei todos achrehen, and two loaves of carbonos todah behind them, v'chol Yisrael achrehen, and the rest of the Jews after them. Hapnimis necheles, turning down the page, daf yudalid, amibes, the inner carbon todah gets eaten, v'achitzona, the outer one, nisrefes, gets burned. V'chol shalon ases, v'chol elu, if you try to expand the temple without a king, or without a Kohen Gadol, or without a Sanhedrin, or without Urim V'tumim, or without Shir, or without the Lachmei Toda, if you're missing any of these pieces, HaNichas L'Sham in Chayav Aleh, it didn't become holy. So if somebody walks into those areas while impure, he wouldn't be obligated to bring sacrifices. Okay. What happens if he's in the temple, and while in the temple he becomes impure? Nitma ba'azara. While he's in the temple courtyard, he becomes impure. So he knows he's impure. And then v'nelma mimenu atum. Then he forgets that he's impure. But zachur esat mikdash. He knows he's in the temple. He's aware of that. Or he becomes impure while in the temple. And nela mimenu mikdash. He forgets that this is the temple that he's in. But Zachor Tuma, he's aware that he's impure. Or Nela Mimenu Zevazeh, he becomes impure while in the temple, and he forgets that he's impure, and he forgets that the building he's in is the temple. And as a result, because he forgot, he spends some time there. He bows down, or he stayed there long enough to bow down. Oh, or instead of walking out the shortest way, Balo Baruka, he walked out in a long way when he could have walked out in a much shorter way. So if any of these three things happen, he bows, he just stands there long enough to bow, or he walks out in a long way and he has forgotten that he's impure, he forgets that it's the temple, or he forgets both, chayav, he has to bring the carbon olah v'yoreh. But if he's standing in the temple, becomes impure, and he forgets, but he walks out in the shortest way, v'ktsara, pater, then he's exempt, because he doesn't do anything wrong here, because here he's an ones. It's out of his control. He became impure. There's nothing wrong with becoming impure. It's out of his control. What would be wrong would be if he stays. That's already a shogeg. But he didn't stay. He walked out right away. So he did whatever he could do. So then he doesn't have to bring a karban.
Rabbi, just to clarify, when they say Migdash, could be the Azara too.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right. So this obligation to walk out of the temple if a person becomes impure is mitzvah saseh sheba mikdash, is a positive mitzvah. Now, we generally have a rule that if the Sanhedrin makes a ruling which is wrong on a major issue, and as a result of their ruling, most people do it, so then they have to bring a sacrifice as atonement, a par ha'elam davar shel tzibur. But for this sin, they don't need to do it. Zoe mitzvah saseh sheba mikdash, if they issued rulings about this mitzvah saseh, she'ein chayav en aleha, the Sanhedrin would not have to bring the par ha'elam davar shel tzibur. Ezu mitzvah saseh shebenida shechayav en aleha. What would be an example of a law, let's say a law of nida, that if the Sanhedrin makes a wrong ruling about by mistake and people listen to them, they would have to bring a par ha'elam davar shel tzibur, a bull as an atonement? Here's the case. Hayim mishami shematzahora, a man is having intercourse with his wife who's not a nida. Amr alone, in the middle of the intercourse, when he's inside of her, she says to him, Nitmesi, I just felt blood coming out. I just became a Nida. So if they say that what he should do is pirish miyad, he should get out of her right away. So chayiv, so that's already a sin. Because mipneshi yitziyaso hana lo kiviyaso. If he goes out with his organ still aroused, so then his exit is just as pleasurable as his going in. And that would be a terrible ruling. If Bezdin would make such a ruling and tell people to go out with the organ still being aroused, and people would listen to such a ruling, they would have to bring a karban par helam davar shel tzibur. The correct ruling should have been, he waits until the limb goes limp, and then he goes out so that there's no pleasure in the going out. So that's similar to the law of a person becoming impure while in the temple. In the middle of an act, suddenly there's an issue of impurity. Okay. Going back to impurity in the temple. Rabbi Lezer says, the verse says about a person who touches a dead rodent, that if he touches a sheret, v'ne'al amimenu, and then he forgot about it. So that sounds like al-helam sheretz chayim. He's only obligated, according to Rebbe Lezer says, he's only obligated if he forgot about the impurity, he forgets about the dead sheretz. Eino chayiv al-helam mikdash. He would not be obligated to the karban if he forgets that that the building he's walking into is the temple. Rabbi Akiva says, the verse says, v'ne'al amimenu v'hutameh. Same law. And it'll be forgotten from him that he was impure. So again, al helam tumachayev. Sounds like he's only obligated if he forgets that he's impure, but not al helam mikdash. Ain't no chayev al helam mikdash. He's not obligated if he forgets that that building he's walking into is the temple. However, Rabbi Shmuel says the verse also says, v'nivla sheretz tameh v'ne'alam. So since it says, and it also says, okiga b'tumas adam v'ne'alam. So since it says v'ne'alam twice, shtei pam v'ne'alam shtei pam, it says v'ne'alam twice, l'chayiv al helam tumah v'helam mikdash, to say that he's obligated if he forgets that he's impure, and he's obligated if he forgets that the building he's walking into is the temple.
The only offering he brings, not atonement.
I don't understand.
When he is impure and coming in, all these mistakes that he's made, just one offering will,
Would cure everything.
He doesn't have to atone anymore. And
that is the atonement. The offering would be the atonement.
That
would be the atonement, exactly.
Also, I mean, these were very wise people.
Right.
Established this rule, discussed them. Right. Did they ever hear about putting up signs? Are you tame or not? Don't come in if you're tame.
They had signs. We found even those signs.
So we're talking about people that
ignored the sign. Yeah.
Okay, either they forgot that they are Tamei, or they forgot they are the Beis HaMikdash.
Correct.
Okay, welcome to the Beis HaMikdash. Please check if you're Tamei.
They had signs, but people didn't pay attention. They would forget, that's right.
Here, we have a box to put the telephone. Nobody put the telephone.
Okay, let's start the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa L'Abaye. Rav Papa said to Abaye, Shtayim Shehin Arba. Two knowledges which become four. Shtayim shein sheish havyan. It's two which are really six. Yedio satuma tchila v'sof. He knows he was impure before. He knows he was impure after. Yedio sakodesh tchila v'sof. He knows that it was holy before. He knows after that it's holy items. Yedio smikdash tchila v'sof. He knows that it's the temple. And then he forgets, and then he knows again that it's the temple. So we're talking about six. So like, one second. Let's amech, according to this type of logic, this type of a question. Tam ne'avni. It's really eight things that we know about. Da'ika tumah de'kodesh. You can say he knew he was impure in regards to eating sacred meat. Tumah de'mikdash. He knew he was impure in regards to walking into the temple. Tzchila v'sof, he knew it before, and then he knows it afterwards when he comes out. So that's not such a question. Halo kasha, shame tuma achasi. That's all knowing about impurity. So that could be one thing. But it's really six. So Amar Rav Papa said, no. Lo olam tam nehavyan. The truth really is that it is eight knowledges. So why do we talk about four? Arba kamaisa, knowing before he eats kodesh, or knowing before he goes into the mikdash. Below meisin liday karban, the knowing before is not enough to create the obligation of the karban. Lo kachashav, that's not what's counted. It's arba basraisav, the knowing after he walked into the temple, knowing after he ate the sacred meat. The meisin liday karban, which is what obligates him in the karban, kachashav, that's what's being counted. Ikadamri, other version. Papa said, "La'olam tamna havayan." You're right. There's really eight pieces of knowledge here. There's knowing before. There's knowing after. But arba kamaisa, the first four knowings, the knowings of before, the four knowings of beforehand. The last nubachala Torah kula, which is what's rare, because normally in the Torah, when you do a sin and then you realize you did a sin, you have to bring a carbon. You don't have to know beforehand. So that which you don't have in the whole Torah, kachashav, so it's counted. Arba basraisa, but that after you did the sin, you knew about it. This nubachala Torah kula, that's true all over the Torah. Lo kachashav, that's not what's being counted. Now, what's the definition of knowing? Vayi Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked, Ne'alma mimenu hilchos tumah. He touched a dead sheretz, and he forgot the laws of tumah. Mahu, is that considered lack of knowledge, because he knows that he's touched the sheretz. He doesn't know that there's such a law of tumah because of it. So the Gemara says, "Heichi dami, ilema de lo yada sheretz tami tzvardeya tami." If he doesn't know that a sheretz makes somebody tami, zil kribe ravu. Everybody knows that. So the Gemara says, "No, lo olam the other betumah sheretz." He knows that a sheretz makes somebody tami. Ugon de naga bekadasha. He touched a small sheretz the size of a lentil bean. He doesn't realize if that amount makes somebody tummy or not. So my, what's the law? Even the other dimitami sheretz ba'olam yediyahi. Since he knows that a sheretz makes tuman, he knew he touched the sheretz. So that means he knew. Or maybe given the kadash lo yada, he doesn't know that this amount of sheretz would make him tummy, and he touched this amount of sheretz. He doesn't know if he's tummy or not, even tummy or lomitama. How lama he? Maybe he doesn't know anything in the beginning. So take it, we don't know.